Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, welcome to Blackticulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life. Hey guys, it's Ade here. Welcome to another episode of Blackticulate. Guys, I don't know if you know, but we're officially 2 years old. Jeez, we've learned a lot of lessons and we would love to share that with you. But speaking of lessons and sharing, today's episode is with Rob Campbell. Now, Rob Campbell is a HR recruiter for software engineers. And at the time of recording, he worked for Google. And I believe now he works for Facebook. Rob is a great guy and he shares his story on how he got into recruitment, best pieces of advice, resources on becoming a recruiter like him. And he flipped it, giving us best piece of advice on how to ensure recruiters like him find you and can help you out on your career path. So guys, this is just a great episode, full stop, of understanding how to position oneself for professional success. Anyway, guys, as always, please do give us any feedback. Please do review, do share, do comment on the podcast wherever you're listening to this on, be it our YouTube channel, be it our website, or be it on Apple Podcasts or SoundCloud, because it really helps. You guys are the best. We'll speak to you on the other side. Guys, welcome to another episode of Blackticulate. As you already know, I hope you already know, it's all about featuring young UK black professionals where we try and find out how they do what it is they do. So guess what? You can too. So it's all about the resources, the tools, the best bits of advice on how to get into a profession. And today we've got a special episode. Ain't that right, Rob?
It's exactly that. Exactly that.
Rob, please tell the listeners, my peoples, who you are, what you're doing. We just chop it up from there.
Okay, brilliant. All right. So my name's Rob Campbell. I'm a technical sourcer. I work for Google currently. Been there for 4 years. I've been in the recruitment industry for 6 years. You know what I'm passionate about is diversity, and you know getting people who look like myself into things like coding. You know that's the thing that drives me and gets me going. You know, so that's a little bit about me.
So technical recruiter.
Yeah.
All right. What does that mean?
Good question. Okay. So this is the thing. There's a lot of like acronyms that are thrown around in the industry. But what a technical recruiter essentially does is they will find the best technical talent out there for a specific company. You know, so if you're working in an agency, that could mean you working for a variety of companies. But if you work in-house, like what I do for Google, it just means for specific projects within the company. So it's essentially that. You know, so that's a mixture of working with clients to actually work out what they want, and then go into the market to find the best candidates out there for those jobs.
Okay.
So that's it, broken down.
So do you headhunt?
Yes, I'm a headhunter. Yeah, that's the perfect term to describe it. Perfect term.
So how do you do that? Because, I mean, you've been doing this for 6 years, right? So before we get into almost the rungs and how entrance, but I'm just curious, how do you headhunt?
Yeah, so there are a variety of tools out there that allow recruiters to do this. So the most obvious one, and I think most people who are listening to this will be on this, is LinkedIn.
And if you're not on it, guys, you should be on it. Right.
That's a great tip. Definitely go on LinkedIn. Please do. So LinkedIn has 500 million profiles on there. So it has everything from, you know, salespeople through to software engineers, which is what I look for, through to recruiters like me. You know, so everyone, most people will be on there. You know, so that is our bread and butter as a recruiter, where we find most of our people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I assume once you found someone, then you approach them and just ask, gauge their interest and whether or not they want to work for said company.
So it's exactly that. So I think a big part of what a recruiter does is research.
Okay.
You know, so you're going to research this person's background. You won't just be looking at, you know, their LinkedIn profile. As well as that, you'll be looking at things which they have online. You know, so it might be like a GitHub profile, which is an open source project repository where this person may or may not be contributing code to that project.
Right.
So you can have a look at the things that they're doing in their spare time to gauge as to whether they're a good candidate or not. So a lot of what I do is research. So we're researchers, if you were to nittle it down to the nitty-gritty.
That's interesting in and of itself, because a lot of the times you would just assume that what's on one's resume is a qualification and a qualifier.
Yeah.
But actually what you're saying is you look outside of what's just on the paper.
Definitely.
To see whether or not that person is a good candidate, a good fit.
I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, degree can tell you certain things. Qualifications can tell you certain things. But what you want to gauge is as to whether a candidate is a good fit for that company. And so, if, for instance, you know, at Google, we're looking for the best of the best. And often it's hard to distinguish between the best of the best through just a degree.
Yeah.
No, so it's more to do with the things they do outside, in my opinion, you know, which is why I always encourage people who I speak to, especially kids trying to get into the industry, that they should be doing things in their spare time, because it's not just about the university that you went to or the degree that you took. You know, I've seen people who are, they do wild things like social sciences in their degree, but then they go on to do computer science in their spare time, and then they've got degrees with great companies. So it's possible, you know, it's not just about your degree.
No, I hear that. Okay, fair enough. So, question. Was this always a dream? Like, I mean, little Rob waking up one time.
Two years old, dreaming of being a recruiter.
Surely. No, what was your dream? And like, and how did we, let's try and join the dots, how did we end up in recruitment?
So trust me, no one.
Your background.
Chooses this industry. And if they tell you that, I know they're a liar. This industry is a great industry. You know, you're at the forefront of technology. You're helping to build some of the best companies out there. But I tell you now, no one chooses this. So what I wanted to do when I was younger was to be in politics, trade unions. You know, I wanted to change the world.
Right.
And it didn't work out like that, you know. So, like, just to give you a little bit of my background, you know, I wrote a degree in history. In my summers, I was actually like a scaffolder.
Okay.
Which is crazy. So I was working in construction on the building site just to make some money.
In London?
In London, yeah. Which is nice in the summer.
Yeah.
And not so nice in the winter, I'll tell you that. And then after my degree, like, I was thinking, you know, I wrote my history degree. I wanted to, you know, to make a difference to people's lives. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do my internships unpaid. I'm paying for myself through construction, you know, so I'm going to make my way into the industry.
Right.
But, you know, it never is like that easy, you know, which is the way it is. It's not unfortunate. It's just the way it is.
Life, right?
That's exactly it, you know. So I got a break in recruitment for an agency called Hanover Recruitment, you know, and they were amazing, little boutique agency. They taught me literally everything I know. And it's where I learned that you don't have to, you know, do what is prescribed for you. Do you know what I mean? You can carve your own role and carve your own ways of making an impact in other ways. And I saw recruitment as my way of doing that, which is by helping people get jobs and get into the industry who wouldn't traditionally be able to do so. You know, so that's my thing.
Interesting. So hold up. History degree. First and foremost,
why? Do you know what? People always say that. And people always say
that. You're a black brother. Why do you want to go back to the past?
Do you know what? Like, that's, people always say that. They're always like, what?
Yeah.
You studied history. Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, like, I love it. Like, I absolutely think that you can't understand, like, the present or the future without, you know, understanding the past. You know, I know it sounds cliched.
No, but I know where you're coming from.
But it's true, you know. I love the fact that, you know, we can delve into the past now in ways that we haven't done before. It's so accessible to everyone. Mm. You know, we've got the internet. You know, we've got access to political documentations that 25 years ago, you know, were classified. You know, so this is the things that are at our disposal. And, you know, what history has shown me is that, you know, you can find out what you want, and it's at your fingertips, you know. So
what do you do with that, though? Like, okay, knowingly knowing, I understand it's your route. So is it in hope not to actually repeat the same mistake sort of thing? Or is it just a fascination of like...
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. I know you're trying to like to delve in. I think it is so that you can learn like from the mistakes of the past.
Right.
Because like, for instance, I mean, if you look at all of the crazy stuff that has happened over the past few years in politics, you know, whether you agree with it or not, we're seeing the UK leave the European Union. Yeah. We've seen Donald Trump rise to the forefront of the most powerful office in the world.
Yeah.
Again, whether you agree with it or not, you know, we've seen things like this happen in the past. And this is to do with like, xenophobia, in my opinion. It's to do with fear of the other. So it's about that. You know, if you can learn about the past, you can make better decisions in the present. So like, in my, I didn't vote for Brexit, you know, but maybe people, if they knew about the things that happened in the past, maybe they may have chosen to make different decisions, you know. So this is the kind of thing, I mean, it can be applied to anything in your life.
No, I hear that. So if I'm doing that and enjoying it, I hope. I mean, what uni did you go to? Just happened to me.
I went to Goldsmiths.
Goldsmith, you know, okay.
Goldsmiths, South London.
South London.
South. Awesome. And then during like the, I guess, summer holidays or whenever you had breaks or even maybe throughout, you were working on construction sites.
Right. Exactly that. Exactly that.
So what was your mindset insofar as like all of a sudden then you go to this boutique recruitment agency? I mean, there's a bit of a gap here. Yeah. How did that happen?
What, between university and agency?
University doing construction, yeah. so I can understand that. But then all of a sudden you find yourself in this boutique recruitment agency.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, so to be honest with you, again, it was just kind of like chance. You know, okay. I was applying for so many different jobs. I was supposed to, I thought, go into like politics or something, but that wasn't happening.
Right.
So you have to try to do some kind of graduate job. And I think at the time, it was when like austerity happened.
Right, recession.
Your recession, you know, so it was difficult.
So you just needed, you wanted any job.
I needed anything, that's right, the truth. Like, I just needed to get on the ladder.
Okay.
So recruitment seemed like a good career. You know, the people who I was working with were smart, they were bright at what they did. And I saw myself, you know, carving, you know, a path this way.
Okay, so you knew people, like in recruitment prior?
No, so I didn't actually, but you know, like when you go to interviews.
Okay, then you felt the atmosphere whilst
you're... Yeah, you can gauge how people are, but just by speaking to them. You know, and that's another thing that I really, really like. I like interacting with people, so recruitment, like, ticked that box, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely does, because I think, from my perspective anyway, it's more a case of you're going down one route, with the hope or intention to go into politics, right? But, you know, just being on construction is obviously paying a bit of, you know, bread, a bit of cheese, a bit of whatever you want in that garage. The Jaguar, I see you. I see you, Jeep. My man's flossing that hair, Tom Ford suit.
I definitely wasn't wearing that then, that's for sure.
But you were like, oh, damn it. Okay, austerity, recession. I just need to actually get a graduate job, for want of a better term, right? And you don't think construction was that for you. So you applied, just put out your CV out there, and recruitment seemed to be a path.
Definitely, 100%.
Because you liked interacting with people and you thought, okay, let me see, I'm sure I can do this job.
Yeah, it was exactly that.
Okay.
You know, and I think that it's a very difficult profession. You know, I'm not even going to try and, you know, sugarcoat it.
Yeah,
recruitment
please tell.
Is tough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what my job essentially was back then was to, you had to develop like business. So you have to bring in business to the company. So by, you know, speaking to organizations who are looking for a certain skill set, and you have to show them that you're able to go to market to find that skill set. So that's the business development side.
Right.
But then there's also the sourcing part, which is to go to market and find candidates who would be a good fit for those roles that you've just brought in. You know, so there's two sides to the job, and it's what you learn from doing this job is about things like time management, which I still struggle with now, but you know, you have to do this, you know. The other things that you learn is about working out how to win people over.
Right.
Because most of these companies can deal with any agency out there, and there is a ton of agencies, trust me, all doing the same thing that you're doing. So it's difficult in that regard. And I think as well, it's like, it's a job where what you put in is what you get out.
Right, okay.
You know, so there is opportunities to like earn a lot of money in recruitment, but you know, it's about having that drive and motivation to push yourself, you know, because what you run essentially is your own desk. Yeah. So your bosses will be there to guide you, but you know, you have to push yourself. You know, I was lucky that I worked in like a really cool agency with great people who I actually, some of them I work with now at Google. So yeah, they were a top agency, and like my manager, you know, I'll mention him now. So Thomas Lennon, he was like fantastic. He kind of guided me on how I could fit into the industry, if you know what I mean, because this wasn't something that I was used to. Going from things like construction into like an office is difficult, you know, and as well as that, you know, it's just a tough adjustment, you know, so he helped me make that adjustment.
Recruitment, because as you rightly said, I mean, there's a plethora and it's quite a saturated market. So is it in one's benefit to be quite niche within it, within recruitment? Because you specifically do technical.
That's right, you know, yeah.
Hence your passion, especially it comes to coding and sourcing, and hence you work for one of, I guess, the most renowned tech
giant firms, Google, what are they? I mean, what would you describe Google as?
I think they are like probably the most innovative like tech company out there.
Okay, they are tech company.
Yeah, they're a tech company, definitely. You know, their mission is to you know, make the world's data accessible to everyone, you know, yeah. Which is like an amazing ethos, because very few companies, I imagine, have an ethos like that. You know, on the most part, it is about profitability, but I think Google is a little bit more than that, you know?
So let's talk about, if it's okay, because you said your passion really and truly is to try and ensure people who look like us, who speak like us, who come from the same background, have opportunities at such companies like Google, Facebook, whatever, right? So the question I almost want to ask you then is, what is the best piece of advice to give people like us to have these opportunities or to take full advantage of them? Does that make sense as a question?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. That's a great question. I think for me, it's about seeing these organizations, all of these top companies, as accessible. Okay. You know, there are people that look like us there. And, you know, these companies are willing to hire people who look like us, you know. I think, like, the sad thing is that when you speak to a lot of engineers who are from maybe certain backgrounds, and not just black, but, you know, minority ethnic, or also, you know, female engineers as well, yeah. People who are disabled. You know, there is sometimes, I suppose, a stigma about applying for companies. I think that's just the first step, you know, just apply. You know, you never know. I think the best way how you can get into the industry is not just about having a degree in the field that you want to go into. And I'm not just talking about computer science.
Right.
It could be anything. It could be marketing. It could be sales. You know, think about how you can make yourself attractive to companies like this by doing the stuff in your spare time. So, like, some of the best coders out there will be doing things like coding competitions. You know, they'll be doing things like open source work and building amazing things with developers all over the world without even being recognized by companies. Some of the best developers out there would have started coding when they were 12 by just messing around in their spare time.
Yeah.
You know, these are the kind of things that you can do. And it's not just about like a degree. And that's one of the things that I want to make clear.
Yeah.
You know, you can make yourself really attractive.
No, I mean, I absolutely get that, and I believe in that ethos. But I'm just wondering, is there any like specific like platforms that companies such as, you know, that you work for look at? Because you mentioned GitHub earlier on. I'm not familiar with GitHub, but I assume, well, I'm hoping maybe those who are coders who maybe, is that a common thing? Is that a common platform?
Yeah, so I can't really like comment on what like specific companies do, and even I can't really comment on what Google does in regards to looking for candidates. It's right. The truth. However, what I can say is that, you know, GitHub is essentially like a platform which is for coders all over the world, regardless of where they are, to contribute to projects in parallel with each other, essentially. So it could be anything. It could be like someone's C++ spare time project, which they're building like a game. You know, and then someone from Russia could be working on that and contributing code to this. And then also someone from London, Hackney. You know, so this is essentially what that is. And I think the cool thing about this is that it is accessible to everyone in the world. So if you're a engineer or a recruiter, you will get noticed if you're building something which is of interest to them. You know, so bear that in mind.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so let's flip the tables again and go back into recruitment, if that's cool. So if I was listening, I'd be like, you know what, Rob, yeah, he's the one, you know. He's a legend.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Yeah. How can I myself then, what do I need to know personally where I can be like, I actually am or could be a very good recruiter?
Yeah. Yeah.
And A, do I need to be in an agency? Do I need to be in-house? Or can I just be a headhunter myself?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Good question. They're different paths. What do I need to see in myself to know that I can do this job?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question, Andy. Great question. So, just to obviously to make clear, so my job is quite a small part of the recruitment cycle.
Right.
So I'm a sourcer, a headhunter. So that means I have to go out to market and find the candidates. So there's ways that you can learn these skills, and they're accessible to everyone. Okay. So there's a couple of blogs that I used to read when I was coming up in recruitment. So there was one called SourceCon.
SourceCon.
So
SourceCon. Yes. Guys, anything we talk about, as you know, I did my best to put in the show notes.
Yeah.
So we'll get this down for you.
Amazing. Yes, amazing. Yeah, so SourceCon is one. There's another one called Boolean Black Belt, which is another blog. You know, so what this essentially is updates and posts from some of the best sources in the industry who have written about how to find the best candidates.
Amazing.
You know, so like an example of that is, you know, how to search on LinkedIn using Boolean logic. You know, so Boolean logic is essentially like it's an engineering term, but this same term can be applied to search engines, which right. allows you to leverage it to find the information that you want by removing and putting in information. That's essentially what it is broken down. So you can teach yourself these principles quite right. easily. I mean, you could teach yourself that in the afternoon. You were talking about, you know, as well as like the different routes and how to get into each, you know. So like in full cycle recruitment, which is the business development part, you know, if you're someone who is driven, if you're someone who is, you know, really able to speak to people, you know, and I don't mean you have to be extroverted and, you know, jumping around the room and, you know what I mean? Like all bubbly, that you don't have to be like that, but you can be introverted, but be someone who is quite personable and able to talk to people and understand people. You know, if you have that skill as well, that'd be perfect. As well as that, you also have to be someone who's quite curious, you know, okay. because you want to know what the best technologies are out there, what the best companies are, you know, doing this or X, Y, or Z. You know, you want to know who the best engineers are out there. You know, that's what you need. That's the kind of skills that you need to have. I think as well as that, like if you were to be doing like full cycle, you know, you have to be a mixture of all of those. And a lot of agencies now will expect that skill set. I think in-house roles are probably, they can be hard to come by
right,
because they expect you to have that agency experience, right. to have been used to working in an environment which is driven, which is tough, you know? So that's probably, to be honest and to be transparent, that is what a lot of in-house jobs will expect.
Yeah, so from an in-house perspective, agency side experience is often the route in.
It can right. be. That's not all. That's but
not
you know
always.
What?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I don't want to. Yeah. You can't say categorically because, as in you guys, you always know that this is just advice as well, and it's, you know, based off one subject as opposed to necessarily the rule. So it's always an.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, and I'm not speaking for any companies or any specific organizations. But like, you can get into in-house in a loads of different ways. You can go through HR, and what I mean by that is by like human resources jobs. You know, so you can do a human resources job and then go into recruitment maybe. But the people who I've seen going to in-house has been through agency recruitment, you know, because of the skills and I suppose learnings that you get from doing and working in that environment.
Question, are you happy?
Yeah, very, very
much so. As in, when I say happy, as in you no regrets insofar as the route, because you're not a politician anymore. And, you know, it's quite apparent, it's very palpable that you're phenomenal at your job. And, you know, you definitely have an eye on the industry, particularly the tech and the coding industry and what makes a great candidate. Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, what are the challenges, I guess? And
I think, you know, to go back, like I'm happy. Like I can say that what I've been given in my life, like, is a blessing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've worked for the best company in the world for the past 4 years, as well as that I've worked for another company, TripAdvisor. You know, I've worked for one of the best agencies out there. I've been very lucky to work with some of the people that I've worked with. So I'm very fortunate in that regard. So I've got no regrets, you know. I mean, there are things which are tough sometimes. I think recruitment can be one of those industries which you will have really, really bad times where nothing goes right. Do you know what I mean?
What does that look like?
Because it's a sales role, essentially.
Okay.
You know, sales is not easy. And I think the hardest type of sales is when you're selling people, which sounds quite dodgy, but like, especially with the audience, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So,
I know what you mean.
So like, you know, you have to be able to ride the tough and the good times. That's what I mean. You know, so you'll have times when none of your candidates are willing to take jobs, or, you know, they're not, you know, playing ball and don't want to speak to you. But you have to know that, okay, cool, if I maintain a relationship with this person, you know, when they're ready and when their time is right, they'll come back to me because I've kept a good relationship with them, you know. So, yeah, you know, you have to be quite resilient, I'd say. And I've learned that over the years. So that's probably like the toughest thing about recruitment, is you have to be like quite a strong-minded person. Yeah. You know, it isn't for the faint-hearted. And I'm not just saying that to be cliched.
No, no, I get that. I've had a plethora of bad experiences, actually, with recruiters, if I'm going to be candid with you.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think I do well in, like...
What are they like? What were they like?
Okay, so I had one in particular who was trying to push me for a couple of roles. And I was just like, it doesn't sound for me. It doesn't sound right for me. I don't think he actually understood my desires and where I want to go to.
Okay.
And she ended up, I won't name and shame, but she ended up telling me that I won't be anybody in this industry, that I'm absolutely useless, that because I didn't want to be pushed into the role she wanted to, you know, make me apply for. And I thought to myself, surely that's not the attitude, especially if you want me on your side. But then we've got to flip it around as well. I am money to her.
I understand.
Do you know?
Yeah.
So I need her to be on my side because she's the one that can open potential good job roles for me, or good doors. But it was just such a bad experience that, you know, I ended up obviously not working with her.
I understand.
And I, but you see that that dynamic?
I think it's tough though, isn't it? Yeah.
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 It's to and fro. It's like, from a recruiter's perspective, you do want great candidates on your book, right? But also from a candidate perspective, you also want great recruiters on your book.
No, I agree.
Now, is there a, I don't know, is there a rule of thumb on how many recruiters you should have or agencies representing you?
No, do you know what? Like, to be honest, I think you should be looking to have work with recruiters who provide the good candidate experience, you know, who, you know, they, you want to work with. Because at the end of the day, it's like, it's a quite important thing in your life, isn't it? Like, to get a job.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to make sure that you trust that person. What I'd also say, like, I mean, I probably wouldn't have said this if I didn't have the recruitment experience, but, you know, that lady, whoever she is, must have, you know, must have been going through a tough time in work, and there's probably reasons why she was probably too pushy, you know, so she may not be actually like that, you know, so I can kind of understand from that perspective. But I think what she needs to get, obviously, is that, you know, this is a big time for you, and it's like, whether you want to change job will be dependent, a big part, on how she treats you.
Yeah, 100%.
And that wouldn't make you want to leave, would it? So I think that there is no golden rule as to how many recruits you should deal with, or, you know, what agencies, you know, I would never, like, point out specific companies or say that you shouldn't deal with certain people. But however, I would say, you know, it depends on the relationship that you have with them. You know, that's what I think.
Okay. So we've spoken about some tools. We've spoken about the resources and blogs you use. Spoken about the sort of personality types, which is great. Is there anything specific, like, from a recruitment perspective that we've overlooked and we haven't given, or we haven't spoken or told the audience about?
I think, like, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is about... it's about learning.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that I've tried to do when I've learned something is to try to share that with other people so that they can, you know, take advantage of that and hopefully recreate the blessings that I've had. You know, it's the truth, you know. So, you know, that's I've done that with things like the knowledge that I know when it comes to getting into coding.
Okay.
I've also tried to share my learnings of the recruitment industry with people so that they can have a good experience as well, because I've had a great experience, you know, I've got no regrets. And I think that hopefully the people who are listening, with whatever field you're going into and whatever you do, I think it's important to share that with younger people.
Right.
You know, so whether that be...
send that lift back down, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because I think that's one of the things that we don't do very well in our communities, is the truth. Like, some of us will get there and make it. And I don't think it's intentional, because sometimes you have to work so hard that you sometimes forget the people who are back there who are struggling, right? Yeah. So I think it's about sharing that knowledge. And that's one of the things that, like, I've tried to do in recruitment. And fortunately, I've been able to do that because I deal with so many people. And I'm always in contact with so many people from secondary schools or from in uni right now who are trying to think about how to get into the industry. You know, so I've been lucky that naturally my job allows me to do that. But I think we should be trying to carve out ways of doing that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, to do it more as a system and a process as opposed to an individual effort. How do we do that?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question. I think, like, you know, we've all got, you know, brothers or sisters, and we all know people who are young people, I imagine. Yeah. You know, and I think even if you don't, there's no reason why we can't be going into schools and talking to kids when they're young. Like, because, you know, I saw a really interesting statistic, I think it was last week in The Guardian, talking about how there's more black people in our prisons in the UK than there are studying in top universities, like as a percentage of the population. which is absolutely ridiculous. And I think a lot of that is down to the role models that we have out there. You know, so, you know, all of us who are listening to this podcast and the people who have spoken, you know, whether we like it or not, we're role models, right? So we should be taking it upon ourselves to go to schools and go to youth centres and clubs to actually speak to kids, you know, to say, okay, cool, this is what people who are working at these companies look like.
Yeah.
You know, I speak no differently to, you know, to the kids who are or have had not dissimilar backgrounds to the people who are in these schools, you know, who may choose to go down different paths.
Yeah.
But I've been fortunate enough to have what I've had in my life that, you know, I've had a really successful career so far. So, you know, we should be looking to share that with kids in schools.
Background plays an important part, though, your environment.
I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, we haven't really touched upon it, but if you don't mind, like, what was growing up and, like, what's your background, your environment?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I don't obviously want to go into too much details, yeah, but, like, sure. You know, I was lucky that I had an older brother and sister who grew to be quite successful. So, you know, myself and my twin brother, so I have a twin,
okay.
We were really lucky that we had like two role models there, as well as a mum who grafted and tried to give us everything. Do you know what I mean? So she never did like crazy, like exotic jobs. Do you know what I mean? But she did things like a cleaner. She was a dinner lady, but she worked so hard and she instilled in us, all four of us, like a good work ethic.
Mm.
And I think, you know, my background, we didn't have much growing up, you know, but we had more than most people is the truth.
Right.
However, I was lucky that I had like great role models. Yeah. And I think I can put a lot of what I've achieved so far, which isn't that much, you know, but I'm still moving, still trying to.
Hey man, there's a lot and you're still moving forward.
Still moving forward. But I was lucky that I had like great role models is the truth. Yeah.
Where'd you grow up and live?
So London, so like North London.
North London. Where specifically?
So Camden, actually.
Camden, is it? Yeah. I was going to say, I saw it was Northwest or something like that. I was North Weezy. Okay, well, anyone listening from Camden, Rob's your peoples.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. No, it's interesting because work ethic is definitely important, especially if you want to sustain and continue upward trajectory.
I agree.
Right. So I feel like there isn't anything that I've overlooked to ask you, is there, from a recruitment perspective or anything that you want to...
To be honest with you, not really. You know, okay. I think what you need to do is to take your career in your own hands.
Okay.
I think like what you spoke about earlier about like recruiters and being pushy, I think you need to be the one like driving those relationships. You need to know what you want to ascertain from those relationships. Even if you don't know where you're going to end up in your career, which I never did, but have a rough idea of the kind of things that you want to achieve. You know, so for me, that was about trying to make a difference for people around me. And I've done that through recruitment by leveraging that, you know, so despite the fact I never did what I wanted to do, I've done it through that. So have a rough idea of where you want to go, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. So what is the ultimate, I guess? What's the rungs? Because I see a lot of recruitment agencies tend to be boutiques. They tend to be very small in numbers, maybe from 3 to 10 staff max, right? And they specialize in a specific industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your next steps? Is that what does that look like?
Well, for me,
Mr. Campbell.
Sounds like you're trying to recruit me, are you?
Yeah, I try to help a brother out. And if there's potentially anyone listening that can as well, I mean, that's why it. Not? Raise that tie together.
Definitely, definitely. So for me, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So I imagine I'm going to continue to do this for quite a few more years. You know, I think there's definitely more value that I can add within this. You know, I hope to do more stuff in like my spare time, so to do more like the stuff that I was speaking about earlier. You know, it's hypocritical if I'm telling other people to go to schools and stuff like that and I'm not doing it myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, to go and do stuff like that. So there was a really cool organization called Inspire.
I know them.
You know them?
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Inspire. They're epic. They're down Woolworth Road.
Yeah. They're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing. So they partnered with Google and also with other companies to leverage our stuff, to go into schools in Hackney and Camden and Islington and parts of South London as well, to talk to like primary school kids and to do like these really cool branding workshops, like getting them to do like Dragon's Den and stuff.
Amazing.
It's amazing. It's really, really cool. Like I loved it. So like there's stuff out there, like, so go out and do things like that. And I want to continue to do stuff like that.
Okay, amazing. Well, I'm sure you will do. And guys, please do get in touch with Rob. I'll tell you exactly how to do that at the end. But like with all interviews I do, conversations we have, I give light fire questions towards the end. But before I do, again, just to make sure there isn't anything that I necessarily overlooked from a recruitment perspective.
I don't think so. If you read up on the blogs that I've mentioned and you you know, you read up on the industry itself, you could probably get a rough idea of it. I think as well as that, connect to me if you'd like on LinkedIn, and feel free to fire questions to me, ones that I haven't covered with Addy. You know,
yeah, more than certainly, guys. I mean, please do get in touch, because Rob is generous and he definitely will answer back. All right, you ready for some quick fire questions?
I'm ready.
Are you now?
Born ready.
Go on. Okay, apart from recruitment, since we now know that's your expertise, if you could do a TED Talks, what would it be in?
That's a great question. So you know what? I would probably do something about like socioeconomics and life chances based on your experiences. Do you know what I mean? So like I mentioned earlier about the amount of percentage of our population that goes to prison as opposed to going to elite universities. So I'd love to like talk about that and how that relates to other industries as well. So things like the tech industry or, you know, politics as well. Look at our parliament. Mm. And how many of them are black? You know, you have politicians in other parties, you know, I mean, regardless of your political persuasion, yeah, who don't really represent what we're trying to do, you know. And I'm not just talking about black people, but poor people in general in the UK. So I would love to give a tech talk about that, about like life chances and how certain elements of our society is affected by that.
That would be interesting. I'd like to hear that. I would do. So you have £5, your last £5.
Oh, yes. Okay, cool.
What are you going to be spending that on?
It wouldn't get me very far. But you know what? I would probably give it to my nieces. It's the truth. You know, okay. I've got like two little nieces and a nephew. So I'd probably split it between them and let them just go crazy with it. Not that they'd buy much for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, let them go crazy, to be honest.
That's awesome. Okay. I want to throw just a couple more, right? Because we're actually here, guys, in the National Theatre. And I'm looking to my right, and there's this fantastic billboard that goes like, "Man, I'm tired." And in brackets, it goes, "Of waiting." That's huge. Can you see it?
I can see it now.
That's awesome. I might take a picture of that and put it up. So if you had a billboard like that anywhere in the world, what would you have written on it?
What would I have saying? Oh, that's a good question. Oh wow, I wasn't expecting something like this. Cheers, Addy.
No worries.
What would it be? Maybe something like, okay, I'm gonna swear, F.
Yeah, no worries.
F the status quo. Yeah. Keep going. Do you know what I mean? So maybe something like that. You know?
I like it.
I'd probably put it like in places where there's people who are struggling, do you know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes they need to be told, like, you know, forget what people think about you. You know, you keep going, innit? Yeah, probably no. Something like that.
I hear that. Okay, my penultimate question before we can find you on the World Wide Web is, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, another good question. Okay. To be honest with you, I'm not really interested in like names, or, you know, I don't want people to, like, know me for something which is, like, to be famous. That's not really my thing. I prefer not to be in the limelight like that, but I prefer the people who do know me to know that I was like quite generous with my time, you know, quite generous with the things that I know and have learnt, so that I could give them the same tools that I've been lucky to have. Do you know what I mean? So like maybe something like that. Probably a little bit like probably cheesy or like a bit cliche, but like, you know,
I mean, I barely know you, and I could definitely attest to the fact that you are that. You've put me in touch with many great people, and you know, whenever we do talk, it's always blessed. It's always great stuff.
Always, so definitely.
I really appreciate your time and just, you know, lending your voice to Blacticulate.
It's been a pleasure, brother.
So how can we find you on the World Wide Web? And when we do, what would you like us to
Good
do?
Good question. Okay, so I'm on LinkedIn. So if you search Rob Campbell, you would find me there. Yeah. And as well as that, you know, just feel free to connect. Send me any questions that you wanna ask me. That's probably the best way to connect to me. You know, so just like, yeah, just feel free to connect on there, I think.
Yeah, on LinkedIn. Okay, guys, I'll also put that in the show notes, as you know. So, yeah, as always, guys, make me accountable, because I'm always trying to make this better and better and better. So if there's any questions that, for some reason, you can't directly to Rob, give me a shout, yeah? Give us a shout. You know how to get in touch with us.
I just want to say just quickly, like, you know, fair play to Addy for what he's been doing with Blacticulate. You know, it's an amazing initiative, amazing podcast, and it's about us sharing that knowledge with each other. And I think, you know, it should go a lot like further than that. It should go bigger. You know, the more people that listen to us, the better. So we should get sharing this.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for blessing us once again.
Hey guys, We really appreciate you listening, and if you have any feedback, please leave it in the comment section below. Also, all the info about the guests, the links and the resources we speak about will be in the description below. And last but not least, please, please, please do get in touch if you can teach us how you do what it is you do. Because after all, Black Ticklate is all about empowering and upskilling the community. Thanks, guys. You're the best. See you soon.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.